If Detroit doesn't riot and burn that motherfucker to the ground, I've lost all respect for that city. Not that I had much to begin with. It is the home of Kid Rock. He came out of there. But I had a couple of shreds left.
Hey, listen, Ndamukong Suh was crying like a baby, according to a Milwaukee TV station, so...
Oh, there's no... I mean, I saw footage of it, too. Man, those were some big man tears.
Notice I didn't say that I am describing him as crying like a baby.
Crying like a bitch.
Because that's a big man.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
a big man. I'm not going to insult him, like, from afar or nearby.
Well, that reminds me of the famous Rudy story. Famous only in my mind, and to the three listeners who have heard it a couple times, but... When my dad saw Rudy, and we got to the end, and he was just bawling like a fucking bitch. But, like, who doesn't?
Yeah, I know.
You're a man if you cry at the end of Rudy.
Exactly.
And my brother walks in. He'd been in his room, and he's just like, you faggot, like, for crying. And my dad just, like, wipes the tears from his face and angrily chases my brother around the house from puning his manhood. Just still crying, but ready to beat him.
I was really hoping your dad just landed a right hook, just right there.
For all the beatings we took, I don't think we ever got a closed fist. It was never quite there. All right, folks, it's Papa's Football Podcast. I am joined today by the lovely Howard Flood, lovely, vivacious, buxom, fucking tits like an 18-year-old.
Hung like a donkey.
That's everything. Anything you want, he's got it. Asshole. Asshole like a cat with its eye poked out.
They don't call me Nelly for nothing.
Exactly. Anything you need, this man can service it. Oh my god. Show's website. Oh, I'm John Papa Giorgio, by the way. We should probably do that too. Show's site is pfpod.com, but don't go there. The site looks like shit and it does nothing for our numbers if you go there. It doesn't get us noticed. Go instead to the podcast app on your iDevice and subscribe to Papa's Football Podcast. PAPA'S. And if you do Stitcher, because you're a poor person who bought a droid, or one of those nerds that bought a droid, you're one of the two. You either got it free with your plan, or you're like, ah, my droid's so much faster than your eye, blah, blah, blah. That's it.
By the way, I might fix the website. I will fix the website after the Super Bowl.
Will you?
Yes, because then we'll have less reason to talk on the show. I'm going to make it look a little bit more interesting.
Okay.
I got something coming. I've told you about this before, but there's something that we're going to talk about in the off season that should generate some interest, hopefully, amongst football fans.
Okay.
New statistic.
You
I'll
are.
Put it that way.
Are we going to go with this? Are we? Okay.
Let's talk playoffs. Let's talk playoffs.
So
man.
We're not going to talk about your plans in the off season to marry Lavernius Coles.
Laveranus. Yeah.
Laveranus. Exactly. He's on the rebound. No more Tyler Perry in his life. He had some incident with a beard a couple weeks ago in the news, if I recall.
Oh, wow.
He's back on the dong train. You are the smokestack that he wants to... He wants powering the choo-choo him. The choo-choo of man love. All right. It was wild card weekend. You had, I would say... The shittiest playoff game maybe I've ever seen. You put those words in my mouth and I'm stealing them now.
Okay, yeah. No, please do.
We started with Carolina hosting Arizona.
Objectively, the lamest playoff game in the history of the NFL.
Yes. And then good night game, Ravens Steelers.
That was the game of the weekend.
Shit Bengals game. If you were expecting anything else out of the Bengals, you're a dumb bastard.
Listen, I got to defend the Bengals insofar as had AJ Green played, that would have been a better game.
I'll give you that.
But all that Cincinnati fans and NFL fans across the board should have learned from this weekend is that Andy Dalton is getting paid money owed to AJ Green. Because without AJ Green, that guy's horrible. Like, his numbers are completely generated by A.J. Green being a top five receiver in this league.
Yeah, yeah. There are times on the show, once in a blue moon, we offer some sort of real insight. That ain't one of those times. Everyone knows this guy has just been riding A.J. Green's ass.
I mean, everybody except Cincinnati Bengal ownership. Have you seen the money getting paid to Andy Dalton?
It's unacceptable.
And A.J. got screwed this year.
Did he? Money-wise? Yeah. I didn't realize that.
No, I believe they franchise tagged him. They're not letting him get a long-term deal, and he deserves it more than that, Ginger.
The fourth game was so bad in terms of blown officiating that it spoiled my enjoyment of the shit I'd seen up till then. I'm not kidding.
I gotta stop you there only to say that up until that point in the fourth quarter, best game of the weekend, bar none.
No, I still liked the Ravens Steelers, at least the first half. I mean, when the Ravens pulled away,
that's what kind of slowed down the fourth quarter. You knew that they were going to pull it out. You had a strong feeling the Ravens were ahead, whereas...
Well, not only that, they were done by about halfway through the fourth. At halfway through the fourth, it was like, oh, we're talking a fucking miracle, keeping the Steelers in this shit.
But, I mean, to be fair to this Dallas-Detroit game, it was good up until the final Detroit drive with under 2 minutes left.
It depends what you're going to qualify, you know, what your demands for a good game are. I liked the first half. I thought that was tightly played.
Yeah.
Jim Caldwell showed human emotion. He didn't look like he was in fucking cryostasis.
I believe he outcoached Jason Garrett on Sunday. I do. I really do believe that. He finally showed to me that he can outcoach someone else in the playoffs because against Sean Payton in the Super Bowl, he was outcoached. And that game they lost to the Jets a few years ago, right before he got fired to Indianapolis, he got outcoached by Rex Ryan. So I have finally seen him outcoach someone else.
We just had our lights cut. We are doing our show fat DJ style now.
Yeah.
In the dark. Oh, they're back. They don't tell you that. Most DJs are morbidly obese, and they hate the heat generated by a light. So you typically walk into your average studio, and it's just the lights of the console. It looks like a chubby kid playing video games at first. just lit up by the Xbox lights.
But yeah, the Detroit-Dallas game, I thought Jim Caldwell was doing great up until that moment when we had a highly controversial flag that was thrown, and then the flag itself was not controversial. It was the way in which it was waved off.
Well, let's describe. I want to say they went into the half, was it 14-7? Like, Detroit put up two really quick touchdowns. And then Dallas, hold on, let's be professionals, and we'll bring this up. And if we were really professionals, we would have brought this up earlier, but I forgot it. Okay, scoring breakdown. 14. Okay, Lions hang 14 in the first quarter.
14 in the first quarter, and then it was 17-7 at the end of the second.
Yes, so they're up by 10. Then they're up by 4 going into the fourth. And conservative play calling, shall we say, that was a part of it too? I mean, do we want to get into the play in question? Just the biggest ass fuck I've seen on a field in some time. I mean, it's to the point a lot of people are like, the NFL is corrupt and the referees were paid off by Dallas to make that call.
I mean, I'll put it this way. I'm going to take the other side of it where Detroit still had a chance to win at the end of the game and they failed.
And a lot of people say that. I believe even Golden Tate was like, we shouldn't have left it so close that it came down to the refs.
Exactly.
Guess what, Mr. Tate? You're playing another team of professionals. Sometimes that shit happens. Not every game is a blowout, especially in a playoff setting.
But
you both got there because you're pretty goddamn good. It's going to be something of a dogfight.
I think that's a veiled indictment. Maybe he's not intending to say this, but I take it as a veiled indictment of Matthew Stafford's play. Like, in crunch time, I don't think play calling was that bad on their final drive of the game. Detroit, as much as I might get on Jim Caldwell for not always being the best of play callers, he was a great play caller when Baltimore won the World Series.
Yes.
When they won the Super Bowl a couple years ago. And I thought he showed that he can really call offensive plays in a playoff game.
Sorry.
Thank you. Thank you for that. So I didn't have I actually liked
that was
the plays
my
that he was calling.
Oh, are they?
I thought he was calling good plays for Stafford to implement. Stafford just couldn't implement them. He's not capable of passing from the pocket at his height in an effective manner. Just the way that balls are batted down when he's in the pocket, it's unacceptable for a guy.
How tall is he?
He's not tall enough. He's probably 6'2", generous.
Dude, Russell Wilson's like 5'9".
He's 5'11".
Is he?
Yeah, he's 5'11".
But he's like listed 5'11", which means he's like 4'9".
No, I think he's listed 6', right? I think he's listed 6'.
I thought he was listed at under 6'.
Okay. 5'11", 3/4 is what he was listed at the combine.
Okay.
So Matt Stafford is under 6'2". He's shorter than Aaron Rodgers, who was 6'2". So he just needs to do better at his height, and he failed on that final drive.
What?
And that's my biggest problem with Detroit. It's nobody else on that team but Matt Stafford failing in the second half. It's not. I understand you have some problem with
something
Caldwell's
went wrong
play calling
in the second half. Okay, they hung what for the second half?
Three
they
points.
Put up 3 points in the second half after a 17-point first half. Something happened. They did not adjust properly, maybe, to the what Dallas's defense was going to bring. I don't know exactly. I wouldn't call, you know, they what surrendered then 17 themselves in the second half. I wouldn't call that a defensive meltdown. I wouldn't be banging my chest about it. But shit happens. But to put up 3 fucking points in the second half, man, that is abysmal. And maybe it was Stafford. I'm going to go a little bit with the calling. I would not say that the game was called well. Get it?
You did have a problem with
shove
them.
Shove a nail in my prick.
You were pissed that they punted after the phantom flag.
Well, first of all, I was pissed about everything about that. Let's just talk about that botched call. For those that weren't watching the game, Howard, you got the names of the men involved, right?
Yeah, it's Brandon Pettigrew was the tight end for Detroit, and he was covered by Anthony Hutchins, I believe the name is.
Okay, so on this play, which had a penalty flag thrown properly, then revoked after the fucking penalty was announced, for God's sake.
The referee actually announced it over the intercom.
I do not mind flags going down, and then it comes up, and you're like, you know what? There was no foul on the play. Hey, it happens. We all get trigger happy.
Yes.
Sometimes I got my pants halfway off, and the chick's kissing me goodnight.
That's the part that I think infuriated everyone, because everybody was watching at home, which is, you know, almost 99% of people who watch that game. You know, yeah. There's very few people nationally who get to sit in the stadium to watch. Everybody heard Mike Pereira back in the Fox studios describing why it was a pass interference until, like, he had the full explanation. There was enough time from the first moment it was announced
and let's just
to
say,
the waving
Mike
off.
Pereira is that lick spittle that they get who's, what, in the league office or some shit? And, like, whatever way it blows, whether the refs fuck it up or not, they're like, hey, Mike, tell us why they made the right call.
He don't work for the league office. He works for Fox now. He's a retired referee.
But he's still an ass kiss when it comes to that. He's like a retired cop. The guy isn't going to suddenly support the Black Panthers.
He's
still with his boys in the office.
He has some credibility because he will have disagreements in the clearest of errors. It has to be clearly erroneous for him to, like, get on a ref's back, basically.
Exactly. You got it 100% right. And when they show the play, he's like, They called pass interference, and he almost comes in like, I'm going to have to explain to angry Dallas fans why this was a PI call.
Mm-hmm.
And he explains it, and then during his explanation, who was it, Dean Blandano, or is he the head of the ref crew that
he's
was
the
in
head
charge of this fucking abortion?
He's the VP.
Oh, he's the so
Morelli.
He's,
Morelli's
Morelli.
The ref.
Fucking mole-eyed guinea. So, in the middle of this... Morelli, Mafratelli, whatever the fuck his name is, pulls up the flag and he's like, you know what? There was no foul after they'd announced it.
Pereira was just baffled.
Even Pereira, who, again, we've clarified, only goes against his boys if it's like the last Boy Scout type shit. Like if, you know, 6 people were shot on the field, he's like, well, that's definitely a penalty. And that's about it. Otherwise, he just goes on with whatever was called by the refs.
So, I'm with you. Like, that moment ruined the game for me. It ruined the game for me. I will give you that. As a fan of football, it hurts me to see a flag waved off in a game of this importance that late in the process.
Not only that, before the pass interference that was called and then ultimately not called, the same dude held the shit out of Pettigrew.
Same play?
Yeah, same play. Then releases him only to commit pass interference. Then you said this was a line penalty. I don't know. I thought if a helmet came off and the player was on the field and it's like an extra man on the field, it was a penalty straight up. But Dez Bryant then comes on the field with his helmet off, jawing at the officials about that.
That's different. I read the rule. And this is ESPN. I got a problem with ESPN trying to dictate the conversation on so many different subjects. And this is one of them. They have a column right now by Kevin Seifert explaining the penalties you're describing, and he incorrectly cites the rule about the removal of the helmet, because it has to happen on the field of play. And Dez Bryant was on the sideline with his helmet off, and he ran on the field. That's a sideline warning.
Mm-hmm.
That's not removal. The removal of the helmet pertains to players on the field during play. He's on offense. Dallas' defense was out there. He just made the idiotic mistake of running from the sideline. Now, that's first time a warning. Second time, it's a penalty.
They chop off one of your hands like a Bangladeshi thief.
I mean, you could probably say unsportsmanlike conduct or something, but, you know, forget about it. It was a hot moment. It was heated, and to me, I thought it was initially pass interference. When they waved it off, I figured, hey, they're actually letting him play a bit, even though the guy clearly didn't turn to play the ball. I thought it might have been clean, but it wasn't. It really wasn't. It was definitely the sort of situation that should be a penalty, and you can't even call it a judgment call. I mean, every time Pereira defends a ref on a pass interference call, he usually uses the phrase judgment call. And I just, there's no judgment call on this one, it
feels
like.
That's what makes me livid, though. That's how you know, unequivocally, it was a fucking. Because a day later, they still, the league office, cannot put a spin on that where you look back and you're like, oh yeah, that wasn't pass interference. They're usually able to do something where you're like, oh, okay, I guess by the letter of the law, maybe it wasn't.
I think the emphasis on this whole fiasco has been due to the fact that it took so long to wave the flag off. Because this happens all the time where there are plays where you're like, that was pass interference, that had an impact on the game. It's just never brought to our attention as much as this situation where the guy called it over the intercom and then waved it off. The way that it went about, where everybody at home was able to listen to a guy sitting in Fox Studios explaining why it was a penalty, only to have the ref suddenly wave it off, leaving him baffled.
Oh yeah, that at that point I can see why some people get into conspiracy theory shit. All I can say is if you pay enough attention to life, usually, you'd be amazed how like gross incompetence
yeah.
gets mixed up with, oh, it was a conspiracy.
Yeah.
A lot of the times. Like, you know,
you give them way too much credit.
Oh yeah, the 9/11 truthers, it's like, why weren't planes launched for an hour? I don't know. Do we have protocol for shooting down our own fucking planes in place? For God's sake, it's the government. We laugh that they pay $500 for a toilet.
It's rarely are there conspiracies as often as there are cover-ups. And that's really what the problem with the NFL
is.
They're dumb.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something about Super Bowl 50, all right? The owners, the 32 owners got together a couple years ago and said, none of us want to win Super Bowl 50 if you're going to use Roman numerals. Because Super Bowl 50 is Super Bowl L.
Oh.
And it's confusing to be the winner of Super Bowl L because that looks like you're the loser. They spent millions having conversations and focus groups discuss whether to go with the good old 5-0 or use the L. And then they basically paid off some of their media partners to put ads out about why they're going with 50 instead of the L. And it's only magazines like Forbes, you know, it's the independent news agencies that don't broadcast sports or NFL that have reported on this as being a farce, whereas ESPN articles on the same subject are like, oh yeah, we have a good reason for this. Like, we don't want that solitary L by itself. It doesn't look right. You mean like Super Bowl I, the first one, where you just had the I by itself? Get out of here. So they're morons, top to bottom.
All I can say, man, I've spent so many years watching this damn game.
Yeah.
And watching as the league has gotten more and more penalty happy when it comes to the offense.
Yeah.
And pass interference is called more and more liberally. It has been drilled into even my thick bowling ball Cro-Mag skull that if the defender hasn't turned around and he, in essence, runs through the guy he's defending as PI 10 out of 10.
He's got to turn around.
He's got to turn around to sell it.
And always been that way.
If it bounces, in essence, if he knocks a guy down and a ball bounces off his fucking numbers, that's as clear as pass interference gets. And a day later, they still can't really come up with excuses for why it wasn't. Like Jerry Austin, a former NFL official, I'm just reading from Pro Football Talk, even he tried to put a goddamn spin on it. And he can't.
You can't put a spin on it, but the reality is there are so many plays that are pass interference that are not called every game. I mean, there's just, it's so hard to call pass interference as a general rule. Yeah, this one to me is clear just because he didn't turn around, but there's so much hand fighting between receivers and defensive backs. It really sucks to be tasked with the responsibility calling that. So I honestly would rather talk about something else. This is being killed out there. This story is just being killed.
I don't do the sports radio thing, so I've heard like 5 minutes. I did a little ESPN this morning.
Yeah.
So if it's being killed, so be it. But yeah, his quote, by the way, is Jerry Austin feller. The one thing that I would say that makes it not a foul is that the receiver is still going away from the ball. So that makes the contact basically incidental. What the fuck is that? Do receivers stop and run toward a ball? Has he never seen a man catch a ball in stride? Does he not know physics?
Yeah.
That guy's running away from the ball at that point. It's asinine.
I just, going back to Matthew Stafford having an opportunity to still come back, because with 2.5 minutes, they're only down by 4. Where were you?
Oh, yeah. Don't get me wrong. They shit the bed. Not only that, we can make fun of Caldwell's not going for it on fourth and one when they were on like Dallas's 48.
I was fine with that.
I guess anyone would have been, except for the fact it looked like their defense was no longer holding. And I kind of forgot the fact that they had the second best defense in the league. Only Seattle was better or something.
No, they're impressive. The defensive coordinator for the Lions needs to be interviewed for jobs ASAP. He should be a head coach. Terrell Austin has done amazing things this year.
I had no idea they were that good, but maybe it's something you can process more when you are viewing something and not part of it.
Mm-hmm.
The ebb and the flow, you could feel Dallas had flow at that point. You know, like Dallas's momentum was present.
Mm-hmm.
Like you would not want to surrender the ball because if you punted, even a great punt, they're going to just eat up like 7 minutes of clock and get at least a field goal or some shit.
That's a good defense. That's their bread and butter. And to me, I have a lot more faith in that defense than
that offense.
Matthew Stafford.
But you're telling me you don't have a 1 yard play?
After that emotional a moment where you thought you had the first down off the penalty and then it was wiped away, that's a tough play to run.
And how many yards did that punter wind up getting? That was like you or me kicking that fucking ball. Like, he might literally have held up his arm and gone, do over. That was some playground shit. Yeah. I'm not exaggerating, it went 8 yards? Or some
shit? It was bad. They might as well.
12 yards?
In hindsight, they probably should have gone for it. It wouldn't have been much different.
In hindsight, yeah. Unless Stafford took like an 8 yard sack, it wouldn't have mattered. So, yeah, that's my take on the weekend. We're going to go back and cover the other games a little
bit. Should we, though? Because, like, let's talk about the other two games quickly. We have Indy versus Cincinnati garbage game.
That was the one I didn't watch. I just heard it on the radio. I had to do a job, and the entire time I was listening, I was like, do I hear one thing that makes me think Andy Dalton isn't a goddamn loser?
He plays with AJ Green. Oh, I'm sorry. He was out of the game.
Big 50 on Andy Dalton's forehead.
Garbage. Wasn't even worth watching. I watched the first half of that Carolina game. It was just, it was not even worth my time. Cam Newton was essentially running plays out of the Auburn playbook against Arizona's defense. That's where they are right now. They're running college
offenses.
That's
how I felt. So, like, that was maybe the most frustrating thing if you're an Arizona fan. And we should have Mr. Montilla on the show again, but I don't want to talk to him the day after that.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to relive that hard.
He might be off for the month.
Yeah. Poor Derek. As much as their defense got props, like ever since they lost Carson Palmer, I don't want to say it's looked pedestrian. It's looked top 10, but like maybe number 10. That has not been some sick shutdown defense, unless I'm missing something.
No, I mean, they've just been on the field a lot, man. I mean, what do you want?
They're going to get gassed.
Yeah. But it's a different job responsibility when the offense isn't holding the ball as much as Carson Palmer was helping them hold it. So.
Yeah. So that game was sad as hell. You just felt like you were taking your 18-year-old dog to the vet. It's like, I know where this is going. Let's just get it done with quickly.
I just remember watching that game thinking to myself, if either of these teams make it to the Super Bowl, like NFL fans are being cheated this year. Because they're just going to be watching horrible football between here and the Super Bowl. That's how bad that game was.
I wouldn't mind Carolina if they somehow caught fire. That'd be insane.
I think the only way they win is like other teams playing poorly.
if the other team caught literal fire.
Yeah. No, it would take ugly football for them to make it past. Who are they playing this week?
They are Seahawks. They're visiting Seattle.
We'll see how that goes. I mean, like, again, we've talked about Seattle before. Maybe we should just move on to the next week's games. I think it's unfair
I guess then I'll just say the only game I felt fulfilled watching was Baltimore beating Pittsburgh.
Which even then, as we talked about, it was a close, competitive, fun game to watch, and yet Le'Veon Bell didn't play.
Yeah.
It really just takes away something from that game when you don't have
the
number two running back in the league.
Offense, yeah. He's really, like, Ben Roethlisberger has an insane season. You fucking think it has a thing or two to do with Le'Veon Bell? I wonder. Roethlisberger's like 33, 34 or something. You think he's experiencing a renaissance? He's like, oh, I can throw the ball down the field? You think that just clicked for him? No. No, God damn it. He's got a running back for the first time in years.
So that's just really unfortunate. Just in a way, all four games had like some serious taints. There was no... But no, like, it wasn't just a fun wild card weekend where you have crazy plays. You know what I mean? There's no, like, seminal play, or I'm sorry, pivotal play that we can talk about other than the flag that wasn't.
If I'm a Detroit fan, I am walking away from this thing the way that we Washington fans walked away from that Seattle loss. Was it 3 years ago RG3? Where you had a great season and your loss was so heartbreaking and confusing and disgusting that your entire offseason was ruined by it.
Well, I'll say this, to be fair, like Detroit did not look great the second half of the season.
No, they have not. They absolutely looked like they were hanging around, man. Like a baby version of the Cardinals.
But they had a great game plan going into this playoff game, so it sucks for them they lost. I gotta say that.
Jesus Christ, Packers beat the fucking Cowboys already. All right, so we are going to talk about divisional round weekend, whatever the hell the name is.
Which game do you want to start with?
You want to just do them chronologically or what?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, so Saturday, your 4:35 game. And by the way, this confused the shit out of me. I thought the Saturday night game started at like 8:30, 8:40. And I tuned into that Ravens-Steelers game like halfway through the first. I was like, God damn it. All right, so Saturday, 4:30, Ravens at Patriots.
I actually last week said that the Ravens would make it to the AFC Championship game. And I'm going to stick by that. If you look at the track record of Jim Harbaugh versus Bill Belichick in the playoffs, simultaneously you can look at the record that Joe Flacco has against the Patriots. They can take it to the Pats at Foxborough. They've done it a couple times.
Yeah, they were one Billy Cundiff kick away from winning the year before they did the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but a couple years before that, they slammed the Patriots at home. It was like 33-12. Well,
that was that game you fucking blinked and it was 28-0.
Yeah.
Where, like, you were just watching first quarter, and you're like, oh, I can go to Costco now, I guess. So, like, you know, I can do my errands this weekend.
Say what you will about Bill Belichick being a genius. He gets out-coached. He has a couple of bad coaching matchups. One of them is Rex Ryan.
Another one is Coughlin,
obviously. And the third one is John Harbaugh. These are guys who match up pretty well their teams against Bill Belichick's.
I've realized, by the way, I went 3-1 in my picks last weekend.
Yeah.
You went 2-2 in yours. I've realized that on the controversial shit, I only have to lean the same way as you, and you can never beat me. It's like playing tic-tac-toe with a chicken.
Because I like to go for the deep ball.
I'm also going with the Ravens. I'm also going with the Ravens.
You're just trying to beat me now.
One, yes. Two, I think they can do it. There's something about them, man, where they looked like shit in the regular season. They remind me of the Giants. They're the Giants of the AFC.
Yeah.
And the instant they sniff some postseason pussy, they are hard and ready to go, man.
I believe Joe Flacco is now 10-4 in the postseason. He has 7 road wins in the postseason, which is now, that makes him the record holder for most road wins by a quarterback in the playoffs.
And is he even 30 yet?
It's impressive. I mean, like, I don't understand his contract still, because as last year proved, they have a hard time making the playoffs when he's their quarterback.
He is Eli of the AFC.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's weird.
Except he doesn't look retarded.
And when he gets paid $20 million a year, they can still make the playoffs. Whereas Eli can't even post a 500 record.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Even in the Ravens off years, which they've had one since Flacco came in last year, they still didn't look hopeless.
They almost made the playoffs. They were in it
until
late.
It still took until week 17 for them to get eliminated, if I recall.
They were still in it. They were, like, on the outside looking in. But, hey, they were on the outside looking in this year, and they got lucky.
There's something I like about them this year, man. There's something watching them that I like. I don't know what else to say.
And Tom Brady, I mean, I'm sorry, people, but he's immobile. If you have a good pass rush,
They are one Gronk injury away from this game being a fucking laughingstock.
Listen, Terrell Suggs and Haloti Ngata are on that front line for the defense of the Ravens. They're going to be able to get after Tom Brady a little bit. We'll see how that offensive line handles those guys.
I'm with you.
That's how you beat Tom Brady, though.
Because, by the way, I'm just putting it out there right now. If they win this game, you and I, we are doing the AFC Championship in Baltimore.
What are you talking about?
We have to. We have to, like, go there and party.
Oh, like, to a bar. I'm like, I'm not trying to get no tickets for that. You know how expensive that's
going
to be?
No, fuck that. I'm not going there. Exactly. Why? So I can get stabbed in the parking lot?
It's not that bad,
catch
man.
Catch herpes using one of those Baltimore toilets? Fuck that. No. But we'll go to a bar there or something. Because I was there 2 years ago when they won the Super Bowl, and it was great. Just for the AFC Championship, they lit up buildings in purple and shit like that.
No, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was a trip. I love
they have
it.
Little to live for in Baltimore. The Ravens yeah, exactly. are one of those.
Yeah. They can, like...
Dude, Baltimore is such a good football town. They loved their CFL team. When the CFL tried to expand into the U.S., the only city that had any sort of success was Baltimore. And they retracted all the American teams for the CFL. They were only going to keep the Baltimore squad. But then the Browns moved to Baltimore because they were like, wow, you know what?
There's
clearly, they
here.
would if they're going to support a CFL team, we're good. We're going to put an NFL team. That's the only reason there's not a CFL team in Baltimore anymore.
Yeah, there's like so little. In Baltimore, here's what you can root for. You found good heroin on the streets that week.
You didn't get mugged.
Exactly. That's it. You found nice H and you got your teeth and your cash. And now you got the Ravens, too. So God bless. You and I are both going to do that. Next game, 8:15 p.m. Don't be a dumb shit like me and think it's 8:45 or 8:30. It's 8:15. Fuckers. Panthers at Seahawks. I'm not getting creative with this one. Seahawks are going to make this done by halftime.
You think that Carolina's offense is that bad?
Yes.
What about their defense? Do you think they can contain?
No.
Really?
I think it will be a hardcore outgunning on both fronts.
I'll put it this way. If this is a big if, because I'm highly skeptical of this happening, but if Carolina does not turn over the ball, this will be competitive in the fourth quarter.
I see that the Seahawks offense is going to get something done. I see their defense completely shutting down Carolina. I'm not going to say it's like a high scoring game, but I'm telling you it'll be like 17-6 or something like that.
Okay. I just, you know, I look at the Seahawks offense. If you told me that they were responsible, independent of any turnovers caused by the defense, for 28 points a game, I'd be shocked. It's not that kind of offense. The Seahawks just don't score at that high a clip.
Carolina will not be able to hang enough on them in the first half where they won't be ground down and beaten in the second half. That's how I view
They're going to have to throw the ball.
And that's like how the Seahawks win every game, it seems. It's like teams go into the half like losing 10-7 or they're up 7-6 and they're like, shit, man, we got it figured out. And then Seahawks make some sort of defensive adjustments and then it's just the fucking clamp is on.
Three and outs or fumbles or interceptions.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes bad. It goes badly for the other
team. It's for whatever reason, they never seem to put a lot of guys away in that first half and that second half is an elephant graveyard.
All right, man. Yeah. I mean, I think most people are highly skeptical of Carolina's chances. I just think like, there is a way for Carolina to go into this thinking that they can be in the game still in the fourth quarter.
I mean, don't get me wrong. If the Seahawks get eliminated by the Panthers, I will jump on Ustream and you can watch me like hammer nails through a 2x4 with my erection. That's how hard I'll be.
Ew.
I will poke out the knot hole in the thing too with my...
I'm a big Russell Wilson fan, so I'm hoping that he can figure out this Carolina defense quickly.
He's too white for me.
Wow.
Too white for me.
You're too white for me.
Probably the most interesting game from a historical perspective coming up Sunday at 1 p.m. Cowboys at Packers, a rematch of the infamous 67 Ice Bowl. I love how everyone's just bringing that up because we were all around watching the NFL in 67. We're all born in 52.
Tony Romo looked bad on Sunday, man. He just looked
bad. It's weird you say that. A lot of people walked away from that game saying he actually looked really good.
That's a lie. He choked. Like, on that final field goal by Bailey, he made the dumbest play I've seen in a long time where he actually lost an additional 15 yards on consecutive sacks before the final field goal kick. So it ended up being a 51-yarder.
I thought you were going to say he took a down to drill the opponent's mascot like Mox did.
It should have been a field goal try under 40 yards, and yet on two consecutive plays, he was trying to get too much done in the fourth quarter, man. I'm not convinced that he can win in Green Bay. They need DeMarco Murray to carry the team in Green Bay.
I love hating Tony Romo. I'm not going to say he was bad in that game. I don't think he was amazing. But
what did he do in the first half? Jack, what did he do on that like fourth quarter drive where they ended up kicking a 51-yard field goal? Choking. He got lucky. He only won by 4 points. So I don't see how you can say he walked away playing a great game.
I mean, I'm not exactly... 4 points. Good defense, we'll say that. Then we go on and on about how good Detroit's defense was, at least for a time.
Yeah, but then Dallas' defense stepped up and held Detroit to 3 points in the second half.
Ugh, God, don't remind me.
Yeah. Fuck. I mean, it takes the occasional
playoff win. Ugh. God. All
just
right.
Listen, any chance they beat Green Bay in your estimation?
Yeah, hell yeah, man. I'm not picking them, but it's not like I'm windmill slamming this pick or some shit.
Crap, did we pick all three of the first games? We've picked the same because I'm picking Green Bay as well. I got too much faith in Aaron Rodgers compared to Tony Chokmo.
Yeah, it
just comes down to that to me. I mean, DeMarco Murray's good enough to take the Cowboys to a victory at Lambeau, but
okay, here's the one thing I'll say. Murray was stopped, at least for a time, very effectively by Detroit. He was contained. I really didn't see that offensive line doing much.
But
in fact, Detroit got to them. Here's a little known fact that people seem to forget. Green Bay's defense fucking sucks. It's not the worst of the worst. It still sucks. And they're still nothing but an offensive team.
Yeah.
And they are not going to be able to pressure Romo and stuff Murray the way that Detroit was. So it would not shock me if this was a shootout, and it really wouldn't shock me if the Cowboys won. Do I want to do that? Do I want to make this shit exciting and I pick them?
I don't know.
You know what? Let's do it. Because you're picking Denver as well in the night game, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Fuck it. I'm picking the Cowboys.
All right.
Let's make it saucy.
Let's make it saucy. I'll say this, though. Like, I agree with you.
That's
going
to be our shake from now on.
Here's the problem. Saucy. I agree with you that the Green Bay defense is terrible.
Horrible.
They're terrible.
Horrible.
But I think that it's a nice advantage for the run defense of Green Bay that they're playing at home. They're going to get a little bit of an extra jump on DeMarco Murray than they would have had, say, in Dallas. Now, DeMarco will still be able to run in Green Bay. I just have a problem with the idea of Tony Romo playing in cold weather. I know he is from Illinois. He played his college ball in Illinois, so he has played in the cold. I just still have a problem with the idea of him being able to play at Lambeau and complete passes downfield to complement whatever Murray's doing.
Man, that
I just
myth,
have a problem with that.
That fucking myth of Lambeau in the winter. This isn't the old days where, exactly, like your players in the off season were like your tax salesmen and your movers who lived in Wisconsin.
But
these are guys who go there for the year. The instant they're done, they go back to their homes in the deep south and stay warm. Like, man, fuck that cracker frigid shithole.
What is not a myth is the fact that Tony Romo is a habitual choker in the playoffs. And so one victory does not overcome that legacy. I think he's going to get blitzed in numerous packages that succeed against him, and he's going to screw it up. He's going to put that team in a bad position on numerous drives because he fails to pick up the blitz. He just holds on to the ball too long, whatever. Whatever he does, I think he's going to blow it. He's going to be the scapegoat for Dallas losing this week. That's my prediction.
Please, that's all I want. I want nothing more in life. I can hope for nothing more in life.
He didn't show me enough against Detroit to make me think he's over that.
Yeah, I don't think the winter is anything special for Green Bay at this point. I really don't think that's some huge advantage. It isn't. This isn't like the Russians being invaded by the Krauts in World War II.
Just talk to me about how many drops Bryant has. Not Bryant, sorry. Dez Bryant. Yeah.
Not Bryant.
Not Antonio.
Bryant.
Dez. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. I got my All Bryants right. confused.
Yeah, whatever. Like I said, I just want to keep it sexy so that we're not 4-for-4-ing on the same picks.
All right, fine.
Because I could ride my one win and then cock block you the rest of the way to win the postseason.
You kind of pissed me off before the show because you said you're not really interested in this Denver game.
I'm not. And everyone knows I have a fucking big man chub for Peyton. Although maybe it's going away ever since we started seeing old Joe Montana in the Papa John's Pizza commercials along with him. I hate that shit. Is nothing more depressing than old Joe Montana? He looks like a 12-year-old dog at the shelter, and you're like, oh, if I don't get this guy, he's going to die like soon.
Oh, man.
He looks like an old Nazi that went to Argentina.
Wow.
And like every day, he's still at some point puts on his old fatigues and like salutes the mirror.
But what about the storyline of Peyton playing against the Colts, man?
Ugh. You want to talk tired shit. I mean, I know that we drilled the damn penalty into the ground, but God, that's one that's going to be beat to the fucking...
I like going back to the conversation we had last season about Jim Irsay just railing Peyton for only bringing him one ring.
Oh, what a piece of shit.
Which is ridiculous.
What a piece of fucking garbage Jim Irsay is. You have no idea how badly I want Denver to win. Like, I resent Andrew Luck because Washington didn't get him. We're stuck with RG3. I hate Jim Irsay with a passion. Not just because he's a blowhard, but he's one of those fucking shitheads who was born with, like, 100 million and turned it into 120 million and thinks he's an American success. He's a piece of shit. And yeah, I love, I like Denver. I love Peyton Manning. John Fox looks like a German man who would go on like a Thai sex trip. And for some reason that endears him to me.
Just what bothers me the most about Irsay and the way he complained about Peyton Manning is since the Colts moved to Indianapolis, Peyton is the only person who's brought a Super Bowl ring to Indianapolis.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why he would get on his case.
Isn't that fucking rich boy logic, too? Don't appreciate what you have. Just want more.
So to me, I would love to have Peyton Manning interrupt Andrew Luck's campaign.
Do you know what I would give for one ring in this goddamn city for 20 years?
Yeah.
Dude, if you want to know the value of one ring, you tell me RG3 gets one ring and his leg falls off 2 weeks later. He ain't paying for a drink in this city the rest of his life.
Are you kidding? He'll be making like at least six figures from people who are just Redskins fans paying him
Exactly. He'll buy a car dealership like goddamn Elway and people will just be like, a Honda Civic for $38,000? Sure, champ.
Dude,
thanks, buddy.
On a related note, like I went to Texas. I found out recently what Vince Young is doing now.
What?
He works at the University of Texas.
Oh, that's right. He's like somewhat affiliated with their team.
He's some sort of director of diversity. Or he's an ambassador of diversity.
Wow.
Ambassador of diversity.
I didn't realize what bullshit it was. I thought he was at least involved with the football team.
He makes more than $100,000 a year to be an ambassador of diversity. He works with the athletic department, but in every sport.
What,
so he's essentially...
sure they hire like one Chinaman?
No, I think what he does, honestly, is he just gets to travel the world. Mostly in the United States, though. I think that's where he has the most cachet. And he just talks to potential recruits about why Texas is a cool place to go. And people just want to get their picture taken with Vince Young if they're interested in going to the University of Texas.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But that's what happens when you win a title. You just get like credit from fans for the rest of your life.
Yeah. It's like being an entertainer.
Crap.
Yeah, you're locked into that time period. You know, it's like some... 20-year-olds don't give a shit about Howard Stern anymore.
Who's that broke-ass linebacker from the Bills? The Bills lost four consecutive Super Bowls, and recently he had some crowdfunding campaign that helped him get out of debt.
Oh, God, who was it?
You know what I mean?
No,
it wasn't
Smith. Lineman, yeah.
Nah, Daryl Talley. Daryl Talley had a crowdfunding campaign that helped him get out of debt.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And they only went to they didn't even win the Super Bowl. That's how grateful the Bills fans are for those 4 years.
Yeah, dude, if you make an impression, you can milk people for life. It's like no one new is buying the Anthony Cumia show, and I love Anthony Cumia.
Yeah.
But he made a name for himself with Opie and Anthony, and he's able to turn to that and like milk it for something.
Yeah.
And same with RG3. Like, I'm sorry, just anyone who gets that far, like Vince Young.
Yeah.
It's not like some 20-year-old kid gives two fucks about Vince Young, but he's able to turn to guys your age, and you're like, oh, shit, you want us that championship. And he just gets whatever.
Yeah.
And he will for life, because it's 60. Those guys will be like, well, you're not the young kid that won it for us, but I can still help you.
Yeah, so a lot of people outside of Texas don't know who Earl Campbell is.
Yeah.
But he is
a name.
Oh my gosh, really? Man, you disappoint me.
I know Charles Whitman.
Let me ask you this. I'm sorry, we have to go off topic of like current NFL. Fuck
sure.
The current NFL.
Sure.
What was the last game we picked? All right, yeah, so
we both say
Denver's going to beat the fuck out of Jim Irsay's like piece of shit team. Final point on that.
Chuck,
I hope Andrew Luck leaves the Colts and finds a better team. Don't stay with that team, bro.
As class an act as Chuck Pagano is, overrated as a coach. Now continue.
Yeah, so you need to know who Earl Campbell is because he won three consecutive rushing titles over Walter Payton when they both came into the league.
That's
they
what I'm saying. He's one of those names that like I would sit there and see on Wikipedia all the time. You don't understand what my life is. Like I go home and I'm either looking at porn or just NFL Wikipedia shit. You know, like yesterday I was just looking at pictures of Y.A. Tittle all bloody for a half hour. Just the famous Y.A. right. Kittle photo.
But I'll say this, yeah, with Earl Campbell, he won the Heisman at Texas, and then he went and played for the Oilers. And he won 3 rushing titles with the Oilers. He was like a big deal at the late 70s, early 80s. And to this day in Texas, he has barbecue products that are sold in grocery stores because, you know, they're just fans of football in the state of Texas who are like, Earl Campbell deserves to make money off his name. We're just going to like throw his name on some sausage and then boom. He's like, he's set for life because he's crippled now. He's one of like the poster children for why the NFL needs more safety rules. Like, dude can barely, he cannot walk without a cane.
Ugh, so sad.
So, yeah, no, he had to retire early because he took such a beating when he was in the NFL, man. So, that's why somebody was like, we love Earl Campbell. We're going to make sure he has retirement money because his name's on our sausage.
God damn it. That's why we need to get, like, listeners and shit. 20 years from now, we can, like, crowdfund maybe a parking ticket given our numbers. That'll be the goal. Crowdfunding child support. That's what I'm looking forward to.
T.O.'s looking for that too, man. Maybe we can get him on the show.
Oh, yeah. My ex is a bitch and my kids go to private school. Help me. My kids have fucked up teeth and need braces. Help. All right. Well, hell, we can punch out of this one. That was Papa's Football Podcast, folks. I'm John Papagiorgio, joined by Howard Flood. For some reason, this is not playing. Why don't we play again? There we go. There you go, stupid damn computer. All right, show's website, pfpod.com, stands for Papa's Football Podcast. Ta-da! If you like us, go there. You can listen to every episode we've ever done. If you really want to help us, first of all, kill someone, and then when the cops come, scream about our show nonstop.
You're such a prick. Don't tell people that.
But
I hate you.
If you can't do that...
Don't do that.
If you can't manage that, at least tell people about the site and subscribe to us on the iTunes podcast app. You can do that with an iPhone, an iPad, whatever. Or if you have a Droid because you are poor or a nerd, get us on Stitcher.
He just came on the train and started screaming Papa Booey.
Exactly. Just grab a machete, kill people, and scream Papa's Football Podcast. Papa's Football Podcast. Howard the lawyer told me to do this.
I fucking hate you. I said nothing. John is a terrible human being.
All right. Till the next... Oh, wait. Yeah. We also do Papa's Basement. That show, look that up on the same things. And that is at inpapasbasement.com. And last but not least, spookiescomic.com. It is a comic I write with a friend. Remember, kill people, talk about the show. Bye.